Let's read together Isaiah chapter 49. In this chapter, we begin a new section of Isaiah. It concerns the suffering servant of the Lord, namely the coming Messiah, who would at first be rejected by his people, but then in the last days, he would be received by his people. Let's begin by reading the first 7 verses. Isaiah chapter 49, beginning with verse 1. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the inward parts of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Let's begin our study of Isaiah chapter 49 with some background notes. Now, this is not the first time that we've heard about the servant of the Lord in the book of Isaiah, is it? In fact, we've seen in our studies that the term the Lord's servant is used in several different ways in the book of Isaiah. It can refer to the nation of Israel, or the godly remnant of the nation, or to an individual that God uses, like Isaiah the prophet, or even Cyrus the Persian. But the primary way in which the term servant of the Lord, or my servant, is used in Isaiah is in reference to the coming Messiah, the Lord himself. The specific context determines in each case who is meant by servant of the Lord, or my servant. So here in Isaiah chapter 49, who is meant by the servant of the Lord, or my servant? And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for Isaiah chapter 49. So doctrinal point number 1, the Messiah is the servant of the Lord. The Messiah is the servant of the Lord. Now, if we only read the first 3 verses of this chapter, we might jump to the conclusion that the servant of the Lord in this context was the nation of Israel. After all, verse 3 says, and he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel. The nation of Israel was certainly brought forth by the Lord and named by the Lord. Verse 1. And this nation was to speak forth the truth of God, verse 3, and be a light to the Gentiles. However, we see in verses 5 and 6 that the servant of the Lord here in this passage cannot be Israel, because the servant is distinguished from the nation in these verses. So we believe that the servant of the Lord in this chapter is the Messiah, the Lord himself. In fact, this is the second of the 4 servant songs in Isaiah, all referring to the Messiah. Remember, the first servant song was in Isaiah chapter 42. Now this is the second servant song. So now here in Isaiah chapter 49, we see that the whole chapter, including the early verses, refer to the Messiah. All the world is to know about the coming Messiah. Verse 1, listen, O coastlands, to me. And take heed, you peoples from afar. He was named by God before he was born. The end of verse 1. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the inward parts of my mother. He has made mention of my name. Remember what was revealed to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21? And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Named by God before he was born. The words of truth that the Messiah spoke would be like a sharp sword. Verse 2, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Our Lord's humble first advent is also in view in verse 2. The end of verse 2. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. Our Lord's humble first advent. He did not come with a lot of fanfare and outward show. No, his deity and glory were largely concealed and hidden. He is called my servant Israel in verse 3 because Israel means, in the Hebrew, right? Prince with God. And the Messiah would be the ideal Israel, prince with God. Now, to the human eye, it would seem like the Messiah's first coming ended in failure. Verse 4, then I said, I have labored in vain. He was rejected and crucified. But with his resurrection, God brought about justice and reward, seen in verse 4. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. Now in verses 5 through 7, the second advent of the once rejected Messiah is in view. Israel will be restored and become the light to the Gentiles that she was meant to be. Verses 5 and 6. And the Lord will be exalted and magnified before the whole world. Verse 7. To the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. The Messiah is the servant of the Lord. Doctrinal point number 2. The Messiah is the Savior of Israel. The Messiah is the Savior of Israel. Verses 8 through 26. In verses 8 through 13, we are continuing to look forward to the Messiah's second coming. We see in verse 8 that in that day, he will bring salvation to Israel and confirm the new covenant with his people and restore them to the land. Verse 8, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. In verses 9 through 12, we have a description of the return of the Jewish people from around the world to the land of Israel and the Messiah's kingdom. Let's read verses 9 through 12. That you may say to the prisoners, go forth. They shall feed along the roads. They shall neither hunger nor thirst. Neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Notice in verse 12 that the Jewish people will return from the west. From their Babylonian captivity, they return from the east, not from the west. Sinim, in verse 12, may be a reference to Upper Egypt or maybe even China. In any case, this prophecy has not yet been fulfilled in history and should not be spiritualized to the church today. No, this is a prophecy about the return of restored Israel in the future to the literal land of Israel for the millennial kingdom of Christ. At that time, there will be great rejoicing. Verse 13, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Verses 14 through 16 would be especially encouraging to the Jewish people who would read this prophecy during their Babylonian captivity. Verses 14 through 16. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Verses 14 through 16. Verses 17 through 21 certainly look beyond the return of the Jews from their Babylonian captivity to their return to the land and to the Lord in the future. Verses 17 through 21. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around and see. All these gather together and come to you, for your waste and desolate places and the land of your destruction will even now be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children you will have after you have lost the others will say again in your ears, the place is too small for me. Give me a place where I may dwell. Then you will say in your heart, who has begotten these for me? Since I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and wandering to and fro, and who has brought these up? The peace and population explosion described in these verses have never yet come to pass, but they will in the future with restored Israel. Now, it's tempting to say that verse 22 has been fulfilled by modern Gentile nations that have been pro-Israel and have assisted bringing Jewish people back to their homeland, even by airlift. But this is just the beginning of the fulfillment of this prophecy. Verse 22, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. We see in verse 23 that when the Lord returns, the times of the Gentiles will be over, and the tables will be turned. Israel will be exalted and over the nations. Verse 23, kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Verses 24 through 26 assure us that Israel would not only be delivered from their Babylonian captivity, but from all their enemies, past, present, and future. Verses 24 through 26. But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. The Messiah is the Savior of Israel. Now, what about practical application for Isaiah chapter 49? Praise the Lord for the palms of his hands. Praise the Lord for the palms of his hands. In verse 16, the Lord says to his people Israel, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. The idea of being inscribed on the palms of the Lord's hands is both ownership and having his people before him at all times. Now, it's hard to read these verses and not think of the nail-scarred hands of our Lord. Certainly an appropriate application. Those palms speak of his love for us and will forever remind us of what it cost the Lord to save us. Praise the Lord for the palms of his hands.